The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
Let's get to our guest, Carlos Casanova, senior Asia economist at UBP. Carlos, what's the stronger read-through or takeaway for the Asian economy and investor? The strong U.S. economy or the more aggressive Fed?
Hi, thanks for having me on the show. So we have seen Asia as a whole experiencing significant outflows and many central banks resorting to what is a pro-cyclical rate hiking cycle, so meaning they are hiking rates even though employment data and fears about economic overheating are not as prevalent amongst U.S. economy. So the biggest factor, in my opinion, would be potentially a more hawkish Fed as a result of that stronger than expected non-farm payroll data last week. It's data dependent. We can't exclude the possibility of another 75 basis point rate hike. We have to see what happens with inflation this week and also next month. But overall, I think the main drag for the region could be in case we don't see any change in stance or worse, even a more hawkish stance by the Fed after September 20th.
Yeah, it's an interesting cocktail, isn't it? Really good jobs numbers and really strong inflation. So when you look ahead to those inflation numbers due out of the U.S. on Wednesday, what's your expectation? Do you think we're going to see it peak?
So we inevitably, if there is a upside pressure on wages in the U.S., that is going to lead to some structural pressures on inflation longer term. So we do think that inflation will peak. However, it will remain significantly above target for the remainder of this year and much of 2023. In fact, we think that the Fed will only pivot in case we see a deterioration in labor market conditions and not really pay attention to the economy, although it would be quite strange for the Fed to continue to hike rates in case we do see a decline in PMI numbers and an increase in unemployment. But currently, the congressional mandate is inflation and employment. And so those both indicators are pointing towards overheating in the U.S. economy. So we do think that they will have to implement additional rate hikes. And inflation will only start to come down in 2023 and will remain above target the whole of next year, effectively, as a result of that upside pressure on wages.
Basically, over the past 50 years, the Fed has always gone too far. Every time it's raised rates until the U.S. economy slows and goes into recession. Essentially, that's been the story. Why not stop a little sooner than usual?
Mm-hmm. Well, the issue this time around is that if they have had a poor track record in managing soft landings in the past, this year, this time around, they don't even seem to be aiming for a soft landing. So there are cost push and demand pull factors of inflation. They've admitted that they have very little control over demand pull factors of inflation, cost push factors of inflation. I'm sorry.
Look, with that in mind, there's also some discussion that inflation's running so hot, jobs are doing so well, there's not another meeting until September. Are we staring down the barrel of a possible out-of-schedule meeting here?
Well, we certainly can't exclude the possibility of an out-of-schedule meeting, but we believe that that is unlikely at this juncture. More likely than not, we are going to see an outsized rate hike in September. And so the discussion is going to center around, you know, what that means for the U.S. recession and whether the Fed is going to stop at that or will actually engineer a hard landing to try to have a go at this inflation, at anchoring inflation expectations going forward.
This would seem to be a very, very important CPI report on Wednesday. I do slightly want to change directions, though, and get to China. The trade surplus, pretty strong there. Exports up some 18%. However, the rebound still looks kind of tenuous in China. What's the real story there?
The real story is that we have seen an uptick in pent-up demand from, you know, some of China's key export partners. Of course, there are still reports of delays in export orders as a result of those lockdown measures earlier in the year. So we are seeing better than expected exports, weaker imports as a result of that sluggishness in China's recovery, but a record trade surplus for a second month. So inevitably, that means that on the external front, that trade number might help to prop up activity a little bit, even if we see more disappointing domestic demand. So we are looking still at a recovery, albeit a moderate one in the third quarter.
Yeah, there's still risks around the property sector in China as well. How do you see that playing out over the next few months?
Well, we expect that the property sector will be one of the main drags on activity this year, and that is why we have kept our below consensus GDP growth forecast of 3.7% for 2022. We don't think that at this point in time it's going to turn into a systemic risk. The banking system remains well capitalized, and also the proportion of mortgages that have been impacted by the recent mortgage revolt is less than 1% of overall bank loans. So it is manageable at this point in time. However, it is not going to help with sentiment in an economy where, you know, domestic demand remains weak because of this zero COVID lockdown and the impact that is having on Chinese households' behavior. So it definitely will be a drag, but it won't turn into something bigger than that.
And how about the rest of the region? We noted earlier that both Indonesia and India have had pretty good run in terms of equity market performance, way up top toward the best performers globally. Is there an economy in Asia that stands out right now for you?
Well, cyclically speaking, in terms of equities, we think China is in a better position as they are going to sustain a more pro-growth policy, even as the rest of the region has to implement tightening. Other than China, in Indonesia and to a lesser extent in Australia, although that is not reflecting in equities, you know, countries that are more dependent on commodity exports that benefit from this environment of rising energy prices, they've experienced fewer pressures on the current account front, and that is reflecting in a narrower differential with the US, which is, of course, leading to fewer outflows from those regions. So we expect that will continue to play a role. In fact, the differential between the US 2-year, which is up, and 2-year in Asian notes, that is the main driver of outflows and depreciation, we find. And so until the Fed announces a pause in tapering, we will continue to see depreciation and outflows from the region. But the countries that haven't had as much pressure so far will continue to outperform. So India, Indonesia, Australia, and to a lesser extent, China on that pro-cyclical factor.
All right. Carlos Casanova, senior economist at UBP. Thanks so much for joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.